Welcome to another class, another sermon, another message on the parables of the Bible. We're studying the parables of the Old Testament at this time. And a parable is a story that someone can throw down besides. It says parabolo, it means throw down beside. The word parable means to throw something that you understand besides something that you don't know. You understand the known by the unknown. Now, the word allegory means to say something different. There are types in the Bible. These are all figures of speech. There are similes, which means to use something similar to something else to teach something. We have the word types, which means to press out, to make an image of. Hyperbole, which is an exaggeration. And allegory, which means to say something different. Riddles, which are short statements of fantastic worth and value in words. There's metaphors. Metaphors, which means to carry something, to carry across an unknown idea into a known world so you can understand the unknown idea by the known. Proverbs, another statement. We're in the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus, Wi'eleh Shemot. And the Lord is speaking to Moses. And he tells them, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man in whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contributions." This is verse 1. "And this is the contribution which you are to raise from them, gold and silver and bronze, purple, blue, scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate, and let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell with them." Now, the actual fulfillment of everything here, this is a type, a parable, an allegory, a metaphor, a riddle brought to light. John 1:14 says, Kai hologo sarx agenito. And the word, that is a Hebraism, and it says from Hadavar, which was this substitution for the word Jehovah. It says, "And the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the as the only begotten from beside the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, all of this sanctuary is a type, an allegory, a metaphor, a riddle, a simile to tell us something about our Savior, Let's go back and look at all of this. This is a new improved chart that I have here, and it's zoomed in a little better. Here we have the tribes around Israel. Now, primarily, the tabernacle is a type of Christ. Everything in it is a type of Christ. Secondarily, it is a type of the church in the church age. Let's look again, just a brief view. On the east side, this is the east here, we have three sons of Jacob, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. These are Leah's sons. The flag above them is a blue flag with a lion's head on it. These four flags that flew over the several tribes of Israel in four different groups represent the four Gospels and represent a different aspect of the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, the tabernacle is a type, a metaphor, a simile, an allegory of that which is true. This represented Christ. Every sacrifice in here represented our Savior. Now, the flag here is a blue flag, blue background with a lion's head on it. Jesus was a lion of the tribe of Judah. Matthew is a gospel corresponding to this. The Gershonites, the Merarites, and the Kohathites are the people that camped close around here and Aaron's sons. Now, in the north, in the north. And here we have a little compass there. North, south, east, and west. A little compass. So here we have east, and we have north. North is the Maronites. And also north is Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. These are Bilhah and Zilpah's sons. And the flag from the north, north is up. Up. Up on top of the earth. Up. And above the earth, north is straight up. It's said that Lucifer ascended into the northest part of the earth and went straight up into the third heaven. This flag has a red background and a white background. The red background represents the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us. The white background is his righteousness. And on that flag is an eagle. An eagle that flies through the heavens. John, the Gospel of John, is the one this represents. The Gospel according to John. That Jesus is deity, God come in dwelling in flesh, John 1:14. West is a flag with it's a golden flag with a calf on it. Now Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin, and these are Rachel's children and grandchildren, basically. We know that Jacob actually adopted Manasseh and Ephraim as his own children, even though they were his grandchildren. And then we have Benjamin, which was his son. Now these are the three tribes here. The flag here is a golden flag with an ox on it. Jesus is our Savior. He is divine. Gold is for divine. And the ox is a beast of burden. He was our Savior, but he was our burden bearer. Our burden bearer. And that is the Gospel according to Mark. Then as we look south. That's the Kohathites. By the way, the Kohathites were the ones that handled the most sacred furniture of the tabernacle. The Kohathites are a type of the church today that handled the sacred word of God. The flag is red, and the flag has a man's face on it, the head of a man. Now, Simeon, Reuben, and Gad are these three tribes that camp in this area. Simeon, Reuben, and Gad, along with the Kohathites sitting close here. The Kohathites are close. And then out there are the three tribes on this side. The red flag represents Jesus Christ's blood again. And the head of the man is, and this is the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke was a physician. He was a physicist. He was a scientist of his day. And he was an expert witness, as he calls himself. And the word autopsy, he uses the word autopsy. He said, I was an eyewitness of his death, burial, and resurrection, and his life. That he is real man, and yet real God. That's the Gospel according to Luke. And of course, he also wrote the book of Acts. Now let's look at the tabernacle. The Gershonites were the ones in the west. The Maronites are the ones in the north. The Maronites means to suffer bitterness. The Gershonites means a stranger there. These are the ones in here. And now we have Aaron's sons right here. Aaron's sons. Aaron and Moses. Moses actually went in and made sacrifices occasionally. Moses himself. Moses was the tribe of Levi also. Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi. He was superseded according to Romans, or not Romans, but Hebrews 9 and 10. Let's look at the fence around here. Let's have a review. It is 75 feet wide and 150 feet long. It's a rectangle. And as we look at it, we see a fence of white, which means righteousness. This fence was very absolutely necessary because all around this tabernacle are ungodly deeds. Ungodly deeds. Anger, hate, viciousness, lust, all of that. There had to be a fence. If one of those walked in here, they'd walk in dead. They'd fall dead. This separation. This here is being in Christ. In Christ we are sinless, aren't we? In Christ we are sinless. There are 20 poles down this side, like it's 20 poles. 10 is the number of divine order. And we've got two times divine order there. We have this fence here is 75 feet wide. This little entranceway, which stands out away from the white fence, is 30 feet wide. 30 feet wide and 22 and a half feet on each side of it. The white fence represents the righteousness of Christ and our righteousness when we're in Christ. There's poles made out of acacia wood, which is wood that is incorruptible. It will not decay. Christ's wood is a type of humanity. Even though Jesus was man, yet he was God. His body would not had no sin in it. It would not corrupt. Over the wood is brass. As we look to the tabernacle, as we look to Christ, we see him as our bearer of our judgment, of the judgment of God was upon. The judgment of God, brass is judgment. On top of these are silver caps. Silver is a type of right of redemption. Down below here, there are 20 plates or sockets with holes in them. These plates are made out of what, Marilyn? Remember what the plates are made out of?
Brass.
That fence right there, that righteous fence, is standing on judgment, on brass. 100-pound plates, sockets for each one of them, all through here. Now, tent poles, the tent pegs that are driven in the ground are made out of brass, which is judgment. That which holds our salvation is the judgment of God was upon Jesus Christ. He was our sin bearer. Now we walk over here and we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 poles holding up this curtain. And the curtain stands out a little bit away from that and you walk behind the curtain. Behind this curtain. This curtain has got beautiful golden figures on it. Beautiful golden figures. Gold is a type of divinity. Is the metal that stands for divinity. It's woven into that cloth. And it has purple and scarlet and blue. Purple means royalty. Jesus is our royal king. Blue is his origin. He came from heaven. No one has ascended to heaven except the Son of Man that came down out of heaven. And the red, the scarlet, represents his blood. Now inside of this, we have a dirt floor. A dirt floor. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, the cosmos. Man is made from the same elements as dirt." Jesus was made from the same elements as dirt. He was the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. Inside of here, we have a brazen altar, except the brazen altar is not... What is the foundation of the brazen altar, Marilyn? You remember what it was?
Acacia wood.
Now, if you were going to make an altar to burn up something, would you make it out of wood? But the wood is a type of something. The wood is a type of Christ. He was humanity. And yet, brass is judgment. And this brazen altar there had poles on it, but it had a ramp going up to it. The brazen altar now is 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 4.5 feet high. It's made, the foundation of it is made out of wood, but it's covered with brass. God somehow kept that wood from burning up. This ramp that went up there, the priest walked on, the priest had beautiful garments on. If you look down here, you'll see these beautiful garments that the priest had on. And here is the high priest's garment right there with the censer. Now the garments went down to the ground. Why it did not have steps going up here? You could not have steps going up into any altar in Abraham's time and Noah's time or in Adam's time. No steps going up. Because when you walk up the steps, you see the nakedness of man. His naked feet. Now they're barefooted because they're walking on holy ground. Walking on holy ground. They walk up there and they're walking up, moving their feet without showing the flesh thereof, because no flesh will stand in the righteous judgment of God. No flesh. Then here, the next thing is a brass laver. Now, what is this brass laver made out of? This is where they baptized these priests and then washed before they went in there. What's it made out of, Marilyn? You remember? What's it made out of? It's made out of brass, but where did they get the brass? From the looking glasses of women. As we look at ourselves, we see Christ in us, and we should see Christ in us. We should be righteous like Christ. We live in sinful bodies. We're sinful by nature. Now, if you're up on a hill far away, you could look down here, because this fence is only 7.5 feet tall. Only 7.5 feet tall. Now this laver is made out of looking glasses. It's got water in it. Water. It's supposed to have living water in it, by the way. Flowing water that was put in there. And they washed, the priests were dipped, thoroughly immersed the first time, and then they washed their hands and feet and before they would go in and to worship, to serve.
Did somebody dip them?
Or did they originally, somebody dipped them. The high priest dipped all of these. Now we come to the tabernacle itself. The tabernacle is 15 feet wide by 45 feet long. 15 feet wide by 45 feet long. In here, over this, are four coverings. Four coverings. How many gospels are there?
Four
gospels. Okay? There's four coverings over here. The one covering is a red, scarlet, blue, and purple on the inside. You can only see it from the inside. When you're in the church, it's the only time you can really see the full glory of God. This room here is 30 feet by 15 feet. It's a rectangle. 30 feet by 15 feet. 30 by 15 feet wide. So it's a rectangle. Now in this room, it's covered up from the outside. You can't see it. You can't see anything there from the outside. There's five pillars. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of grace again. We'll talk a little bit more about pillars. Let's finish on the covers. Four covers. The first cover is red and purple, and it has all types of gold entwined in it. And the next one is white. Now, the first one represented Christ's royalty. Only in the church can we really see how wonderful and royal and what a high priest we have. The next one, the next cover is white, representing the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness of us. And we are sons of God. He made us a kingdom of priests. Number three is red, representing his blood. Number four is brown. The brown of dolphin skin. The brown of dolphin skin. The dolphin skins, the dolphins represent the resurrection. And it's a brown looking thing that they see here. Not real beautiful, just brown. From the outside, it's just brown. That's all. Now let's go in. The first thing we come to are five pillars. Five pillars. The five pillars are made out of what inside, Marilyn?
Pillars
of acacia wood. Wood represents what? Humanity. We're saved by grace, and Jesus saves us by grace. And these five pillars of wood, but they're covered with pure gold. and they have caps of silver on them. And down below these pillars is unusual. All the rest here, every one of these 48 boards made out of acacia wood stand on two sockets of silver. But here, these pillars stand on sockets of brass. Here is brass. There is brass. When you come to a church and you want to join a church, there is a judgment made. There's a vote taken. I make a motion that after baptism, the full rights and privileges be given to this church member, and then the right hand of church fellowship. Five is a number of grace and brass. Yes.
When they go into the tabernacle, is there a curtain there?
Yes, there's a curtain here.
Right there where
yeah,
the fire
there's a curtain, this beautiful curtain.
Okay.
We see the inside. We see this beautiful curtain. And as you walk in there, you walk through judgment. You walk through grace. You are human. And you're covered with the divine blood. Christ saved us by grace. His grace was, after the judgment of God placed upon him, he was wood, he was human, but he was divine, wood covered with pure gold. On the right-hand side in here, you find the table of showbread. On this table of showbread, if you look in there, you'll see a pitcher for the wine. You'll see dishes for incense. And you'll find that there's 12 loaves of bread. And this is the bread of the presence. It's always in the presence of God. This bread was replaced once every week. Once a week. It's unleavened bread, so it's going to last longer than regular bread. If it had leaven in it, it would have rotted and started molding. But here, it's unleavened bread that was placed in there. And only the priest could eat it except when David did. The time. Now, it's 7.5 feet high out here. In here, we got it 15 feet high. There's 48 boards here. These 48 boards are 27 inches wide and 15 feet high. They're made out of acacia wood, which is incorruptible wood, representing Christ. Even though he was flesh, he was divine. There was no human blood in him. It was divine blood. He would have never corrupted. He would have not died because he was divine. He was the seed of the woman, not the seed of Adam, the seed of the woman. These 48 boards around here, and they're all standing on two silver sockets each. Each board stands on two silver sockets, two silver plates. The boards are wood. They're covered in pure gold. And they're held up by five rods. It typifies Christ. 12 is the number of governmental perfection. We have 4 times 12 is 48. 4 times 12 is 48. There are 12 apostles, 12 tribes, and 24 elders in the book of Revelation. That makes 48. 48. Governmental perfection. 4 times. The 4 Gospels. The 4 Gospels. The 4 attributes of God. Man. He was man. He was divine. He was a king of Israel. And he's our servant. 4 ways we look at Christ. Inside of here, we come into a room that has no light in it. But over here to the right, we see the table of showbread. Now, it's made out of acacia wood, but it's covered with pure gold. What does the bread on that table represent? What's the bread represent? It represents the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jesus took the Hasador, the Passover, and turned it into the Lord's Supper. He took the Lord's Supper early he took the Passover early with his church, and he instituted the Lord's Supper with it. At the end of the supper, he took Elijah's bread and Elijah's cup, Elijah's bread, and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, Elijah's cup that was filled with wine, "Ganamatos te sam plu." that was filled with wine, the fruit of the vine. And he took it and he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. Take this and drink. And as long as you drink it and eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me." It is not a sacrament, as the Catholic Church invented in 1100 A.D., the transubstantiation. We can't take bread and wine and turn it into Jesus again. He died once for all, not 500 times, not 1,000 times, not 50 times. He died once for our sin. The altar of incense is right in front of the veil. The veil is beautiful. It has on the veil, we have gold embroidery, and it is purple, and it is blue and scarlet, which typifies again the purple, blue, and scarlet that we see on the inside. That's our heavenly King and Redeemer. Here again, in this room, all you see is gold all around you, gold. When you're in the God's church, you see Jesus. Divine Jesus. The Gnostics impregnated the world with one of the most hellish doctrines, that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh. The Seventh-day Adventists at one time believed this. They finally evolved where they believe Jesus is divine now. The Jehovah's Witnesses came from the same order as they did. The Jehovah's Witnesses got further and further away, and Jesus is not God. He's a God, a created God, and he's not God. He's the Archangel Michael. And then we come to Islam, and we come to Herbert Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong, all of this doing away with the deity of Jesus Christ. A hellish doctrine, a doctrine that will get you no place but hell. You got to have Jesus as your divine. Inside the church, you see nothing but the divinity of Christ. This altar of incense here, the priest came in there, and they put coals of fire on that altar of incense, and they put incense on top of it, and it went up, and you could smell it all the way into the holy place. The Holy of Holies here, and the holy place is here. The Kadesh HaMakom here, the holy place. And then a Kadesh HaKadoshim there, the Holy of Holies. This room here represents the church in the church age, and Christ in the church, where there are two or three gathered together in my authority as a church, I will be in the middle of it. And Jesus took the idea that the Jews had, that it took 10 to make a synagogue, and he turned it into only two or three that makes a church. In here, the altar of incense, that represents the prayers of God's saints in his churches. Over here is a candlestick. The candlestick is 1,500 ounces of pure gold. It's 3 foot 6 inches high. The highest, the tallest piece of furniture in that room. The table of showbread was 36 by 18. By 27 inches high. The altar of incense was 18 by 18 by 36 inches high. The candlestick had 7 branches on it all together, including the middle. And it's 3 foot 6 inches tall. 3 foot 6 inches tall, made out of pure gold. That candlestick represents Christ in his church and the Holy Spirit as the light that illuminates God's people, illuminates the apostles to write the Word of God. And this room, this rectangular room, represents the church and the church age. Then we go through the veil. And this room is 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. And in that room is the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is a very small thing. It's 45 inches wide by 27 inches and 27 inches off the ground. On top of it is a mercy seat with 2 cherubims up there. And again, this object is acacia wood with gold inside and outside it. Now go back to the candlestick and in the holy place. The candlestick is not made out of wood at all, is it? Why? Why? It represents Christ, but it represents the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit God? He's not a force. He's God. Pure gold. It is not acacia wood with gold over it. This does not represent Christ as our God-man, but represents Christ in his resurrected, glorified person. And the Holy Spirit ministering in the churches as a comforter. The Holy Spirit is divine. He is God. He is not man God. He is God. We go in here and we see these four pillars here. One, two, three, four pillars. Four pillars talks about the four Gospels again and the four attributes of Jesus. He is God. He is man. He is a king. And he's our servant. And here you see nothing but pure gold. And there's no light in there. There's no light. The light is the Shekinah glory of God emanating and originating from the holy Ark of the Covenant.
The candlestick's burning though all the time.
The candlestick's in this room. We're not in this room now. We go into this room here. And that room there is a tight type of heaven itself. There's nothing in here that represents anything of man, all of God, all what God made. In the ark is a golden jar of manna, which God made. In there is God's rod, which was Aaron's rod, which was Moses' rod, which is Adam's rod, and it is made of God, made by God, even though, and according to the book of Jasher and many ancient Hebrew sources, that rod is what God held in his hand when he created the heavens and the earth. It was almond wood, but it was before almond tree was ever created. And also in there is the law of God. Cut out by Moses, but written by the finger of God himself. And above that, during the tabernacle years, is the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God that moved over the waters in Genesis 1 and 2. That worried over, suffered over. Jesus gave his life for us. The Holy Spirit mourns and leads us and guides us and tries to bring him to us. He draws us by conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Oh, should we say, God save us from this sinful body. God save us from our sinful minds. God save us. God save us. Because all we can see is judgment. Even after we're saved, we are sinners. We're saved by grace and held by grace. Outside now, around here, people would see this holy smoke here. And they would see and smell the odors coming out of here. Now let's look at the priest for a moment. The priest had linen underwear, white linen underwear. And then one of the first things they had was a skirt, a long robe of white. Now white linen underwear represents Christ. And it was seamless, by the way. Woven. Seamless. Like he wore. And they took his underwear off when they crucified him, by the way. He was naked. The priest, he has this. Now, on the bottom here, we see pomegranates. We see pomegranates and bells. And as the priest served, the bells will ring. The bells will ring. And we have a blue. We have blue. And that represents the priest's heavenly vocation. The heavenly vocation. The priests had, the Levites had 48 cities that they lived in. They inherited no land. God's priests today should not worry about their earthly dwellings, but their heavenly vocation. According to the Word of God, the priests were not to work at all. They were to do no labor outside of serving in this capacity. They were not made to serve. Everybody else worked. They worked, but they worked in the service of God. We might apply that to some extent to God's pastors today, that they should spend their time not in worldliness, but in study and preaching the Word of God. Here we had an ephod. Now all of this is made out of linen, by the way, fine linen, and dyed. We have this ephod. On the front of this ephod, we have 12 jewels that are inscribed. These 12 jewels are inscribed with the names of all the sons of Israel. And up here, well, some people think that here, down below here, was a pouch in this ephod where they would put the stones, the Urim and Thummim. And this one has the stones up here in a pouch on the shoulders, because it said it would bear them on the shoulders. Now, in all reality, all these stones are borne on the shoulders of this priest, because the weight is on the shoulders. Always, these stones glittered, because always on the heart of God. This high priest represents Jesus, our high priest. Now the high priest bore these stones. And the onyx stones had the tribe, names of the tribes of Israel on them. On the priest's head is a linen turban, whatever you want to call it, hat. And on this hat is a crown. And it's made out of pure gold. And it says, Kadesh, holiness, Le Jehovah, to the Jehovah, holiness to the Lord. Excuse my coughing, please. This is just a little bit more of the glories and the beauties of God's Word that we see. We are all priests unto God. Today we are a kingdom of priests, serving our Lord today. We have two offices in the church, deacons and pastors, and they are servants. Servants. They are there to serve the people and serve God. Do you have any questions, Marilyn?
There was no light in where the...
There's no light in the Holy of Holies. Now, this Holy of Holies is 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. How big is New Jerusalem?
1,500
miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles approximately. A perfect cube, a perfect square like this was. That represents heaven itself. Now in New Jerusalem, where is the light there? What is the source of the light? The throne of Jesus. The throne of Jesus. The light emanates from Him. All right. Father, thank you for one more lesson from your word on parables, similes, allegories, metaphors, riddles, types. These things that we learn from your word that tell us spiritual things from physical items, physical objects, we learn a spiritual lesson. Father, help us to be vessels of honor. Help us to glorify you with our lives. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. We send this out for those that for the edification of your people all over the world. In our Savior, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.